In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was at night, sometime before the sun rose, to shine its own light upon that holy land that held in its earth like a womb our Savior Jesus Christ. Sometime in that night, a new fire was set alight. And before any stone was rolled away, before any linen cloths were folded and set upon the slab where he was laid, before he was mistaken for a gardener by Mary, our Lord's very dead heart began to beat. And into lungs which had stopped taking in air, a first new breath was taken. And as all humanity breathed in when this Christ was first born in a Bethlehem stable, now humanity could again breathe after the most solemn and bewildering few days that the human race had ever encountered, when the Word made flesh, who had taught wonderful things, who had done wonderful things, who had healed and forgiven and sanctified and given hope, was delivered into the hands of wicked men and beaten and crucified and buried. There was no sense amongst his followers yet that the battle had turned for the better, and less so that the one full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice had been made. Rather, there was confusion and fear and dread and guilt and the shame of those who had fled, abandoned, and denied their master. It was as dark in the heart of humanity as it was in that tomb, until a new fire was lit. At this Easter vigil here at St. George and in churches like ours all over the globe, this new light is recalled in the blessing of new fire and the lighting of the Paschal candle, which burns for all of Eastertide until Ascension. The candles extinguished on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday are relit. And that light that shined in the darkness, that the darkness did not comprehend, was extinguished. But sometime before sunrise that first Easter, the fire was relit. A new fire in the black night of a tomb in Jerusalem where Jesus was laid, and in the black hearts of those who were dead in trespasses and sins. Through time, the church has wondered at the resurrection, just as we do tonight. But amongst all the works that were written in contemplation of new life in Christ, one of the finest liturgical prayers ever written was composed for that blessing of the new fire, the Paschal candle. And it was sung here tonight, but the words of the Exultet are worthy of repetition, just as they have been repeated century upon century. Recall a few of these words that you've heard tonight. Now let the angelic host of heaven be joyful. Let the divine mysteries be celebrated with exultation. And for the victory of so great a king, let them sound the trumpet of salvation. Let the earth itself rejoice, enlightened with such glorious radiance and shining with the splendor of the King eternal. Let the whole world perceive that darkness, gloom, and sorrow have been driven hence. Let also our Mother, the Church, exult, adorned with the glory of so great a light. And let this holy house resound again with the triumphant voices of the people. The gloom, the darkness, the sorrow of even our complicit cooperation in the crucifixion are driven hence in the resurrection. For the Lord has prayed for our forgiveness before his death, and in his death and resurrection, he has won forgiveness for us all. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that with the service of the voice and with all the affection of heart and soul, we should laud the invisible God, the Father Almighty, and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who for us paid the debt of Adam to the Father eternal and blotted out the handwriting of the olden trespass with his precious blood. And insomuch as Christ was crucified as the head of this body, the church, the price has been paid for us all, and it is finished. They come quickly. But three Old Testament types are used then to reveal the meaning of what had just happened at that crucifixion. And we must note, though they go fast, the prayer does not say, remember those events, recall those events, think about those events, but rather, this is the event. For this is the feast of the Passover, whereon he, the true Lamb, is laid, and by his blood are all our doorposts hallowed. Before the wrath of God came down upon those who kept the children of God in bondage in Egypt, the blood of the Lamb was spread upon the doorposts, and they were passed over, the Passover. But this is the night. Now the final judgment of God will pass over us as those who are in Christ are covered by his redeeming blood. The Exodus, crossing of the Red Sea. For this is the night whereon at first thou madest our fathers, the children of Israel, when led forth out of Egypt to pass dry shod over the Red Sea. That was a type, a shadow. This is that night. Across a divide that was impossible for us to traverse alone, God parted waters and drew the people of God safely. Now on this night where Christ arose, we are ushered across the divide of God and man as we are drawn into Christ and rise with him as he arose. And that fiery pillar in the wilderness. This, therefore, is the night which dispelled the darkness of sin by the light of the fiery pillar. As the people of God were led through the night of darkness afterward, after they'd crossed that Red Sea, by a pillar of light in the wilderness, so now it is fulfilled. The light of the resurrected Christ struck anew in us who dwell in him, shines as a pillar of light in the midst of our darkness. This is the night, which now throughout all the world setteth apart them that believe in Christ from the corruption of this life and from the blackness of offenses, restoreth them to grace, and uniteth them in holiness. This is the night whereon, when he had broken the bonds of death, Christ came up a conqueror from the lower parts. In the ancient church, it is called Christus Victor, Christ the Victor. He leads us now not only to redemption through his blood, but to new life, rising victorious over the most daunting enemy that faces us, death itself. Therefore, the sacredness of this holy night banisheth vice, washeth away guilt, restoreth innocence to the fallen, and joy to the sorrowful. It putteth enmities to flight, prepareth peace, and boweth down dominions. It is no platitude, it is not a metaphor, it is not a symbol merely. It is no myth or parable or fable or tale. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And afterward, his disciples followed him without compromise, most often to their own martyrdoms. They may have been perplexed in the darkness of those 3 days, but when word reached them that on this night the light of the world had been rekindled, nothing again could persuade them to despair. Today and even now on this night, as the light of Christ shines atop the Paschal candle as a symbol of the risen Christ and the faith of his church, let no cloud of this mortal life block from you the light of that love which is immortal. For it was on this night that the light of Christ was relit, and the love of Christ was gloriously manifested. That light of Christ will never be extinguished again. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.